Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, Text 37. Bhavan paritratum ehavatirno jananam samayanurupam. Vena patarad avalopatam adhya aluptamadhya tadehato vishnukalasi vainya. Translation. O King Prithu, son of Vena, you are the part and parcel expansion of Lord Vishnu. Due to the mischievous activities of King Vena, religious principles were almost lost. At that opportune moment, you descended as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, for the protection of religious principles, you have appeared from the body of King Vena. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The way in which Lord Vishnu kills the demons and protects the faithful is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 4:8. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sangsthapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. In two hands, Lord Vishnu always carries a club and a chakra to kill the demons, and in his other two hands he holds a conch shell and a lotus to give protection to his devotees. When his incarnation is present on this planet or in this universe, the Lord kills the demons and protects his devotees simultaneously. Sometimes Lord Vishnu appears in his person as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. All of these appearances are mentioned in the Shastras. Sometimes he appears as a Shaktyavesh avatar like Lord Buddha. As explained before, these Shaktyavesh avatars are incarnations of Vishnu's power invested in a living entity. Living entities are also part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, but they are not as powerful. Therefore, when a living entity descends as an incarnation of Vishnu, he is especially empowered by the Lord. Paragraph. When King Prithu is described as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, it should be understood that he is a Shaktyavesh avatar, part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, and is specifically empowered by him. Any living being acting as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu is thus empowered by Lord Vishnu to preach the bhakti cult. Such a person can act like Lord Vishnu and defeat demons by arguments and preach the cult of bhakti exactly according to the principles of Shastra, as indicated in Bhagavad Gita. Whenever we find someone extraordinarily preaching the bhakti cult, we should know that he is especially empowered by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila 7:11. Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tara Pravartana. One cannot explain the glories of the holy name of the Lord without being specifically empowered by Him. If one criticizes or finds fault with such an empowered personality, one is considered an offender against Lord Vishnu and is punishable. Even though such offenders may dress as Vaishnavas with false tilak and mala, they are never forgiven by the Lord if they offend a pure Vaishnav. There are many instances of this in the Shastras. End of purport. Bhavan paritratum ihavatirno dharmam jananam samayanurupam dena pacharad avaluptam adya tadehato vishnu kalasi vainya. O King Prithu, son of Dena, you are the part and parcel expansion of Lord Vishnu. Due to the mischievous activities of King Dena, religious principles were almost lost. At that opportune moment, you descended as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, for the protection of religious principles, you have appeared from the body of King Dena. There's a lot in this verse and purport, and this section of the Bhagavatam also. We're getting, stepping back, the bigger picture is we're getting some very nice example of something that comes up in our day-to-day life from time to time, and that is, how do we address ourselves as subordinates to someone who is a superior, as is the case between Lord Brahma and Prithu Maharaj, the subordinate to the superior, where it appears that there is discrepancy in the superior's discharge of their duty? Just button your lip. He's unbuttoning his lip. He's speaking. And he's speaking in an exemplary manner. It's a nice example for us to understand how to address ourselves in a very sensitive, etiquette-wise, very sensitive situation. He's not saying nothing. He's not instructing either. He is very respectfully addressing his superior, Prithu Maharaj. The first word in the verse is Bhavan. Prabhupada has translated this in the word for word, Your Majesty, and it's with a capital M. So, etiquette-wise, respect is appropriate in any relationship. So just break it down and say, without respect, you don't have a relationship. In any sphere, the fabric of relationships is respect. Say it the other way. Without respect, you don't have a relationship. And then Vaishnavas should establish relationships commensurate with how respect is appropriate. I was requested some years ago to conduct a week-long seminar on brahmachari life. And I decided, following a dear godbrother of mine, Bhurijan Prabhu, one of the ways to effectively instruct on some subject matter is, I learned this from Bhurijan. This is from his Art of Teaching class. He wrote a book, The Art of Teaching. And he gave a one-month class in The Art of Teaching in Vrindavan, because I was teaching at the VIHE and he was teaching at the VIHE. And so I took his class on The Art of Teaching. And what he did was every day he made the same point. He made it in very attractive ways, but every day was the same point, repetition. I can to this day remember what that point was that he made, which isn't essential to share with you right now. What I'm trying to do is share that in this brahmachari class, I decided to follow in Bhurijan's footsteps, that in each of the 7 days they would make the same point. And that same point was respect. One of the common concerns about brahmachari life, obviously, the very term brahmacharya means celibacy. Brahmacharya can apply to a grihastha. Prabhupada called his grihasthas brahmachari grihasthas because they observe strictly celibacy other than for the purpose of producing a God-conscious child and otherwise brahmacharya. So then how is a husband to regard his wife if he's observing brahmacharya? It's respect. And how is the wife to observe the husband when they're observing celibacy? With respect. Or how is a brahmachari to observe brahmacharya, celibacy, if there's not respect? It doesn't make sense. If you don't have respect, you have disrespect. So how is a young boy trained? How many times did Prabhupada say how the young boy is trained? He goes to the ashram of the guru. And in the ashram of the guru, he does menial service. One of the principles of brahmacharya life. Menial service. Like the legs in relation to the rest of the body. The brahmachari simply serves everybody. And he's very happy simply serving everybody. He has no conception of himself other than simply the servant of everybody. And he's very happy being the servant of everybody. Very happy. Ask him to take another position. He just wants to be the servant of everybody. Very happy. And then in relation to the opposite sex, how is the young student trained? He goes door to door. And he dresses every woman as mother. And in culture, society, how does one regard mother? With respect. He's trained. A little boy. To offer respect. So when he's a big boy and a man, what's that deeply ingrained consciousness? Respect. 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 Respect his mother. All women are treated with respect. Take away that respect and what do you have? You say it's disrespect, but it means here's an object that's a potential object for me to enjoy. Let me check it out. Or let me restrain myself and think badly about women because they're bad. Prabhupada taught us this way. This disrespect or adversity is the flip side of attachment. Yes? If you're strongly averse to something, it's a flip side of attachment. But if you have the culture of respect, that's very nice. There's no question of enjoying as an object of sex one's mother. It's just, for a cultured person, unthinkable. So the culture of respect is appropriate. So now, how does someone who is the subordinate regard one who is the superior? With respect. Now, how do you maintain respect if it seems to you, whether it's so or not so, it may seem to be so, let's just say it's so. It's not just seeming discrepancy. There's discrepancy. Now what do you do? Ever have that challenge, my dear devotees? What do you do? How does a properly situated Vaishnava behave in a situation like that? Start with the fabric of relationships that says respect. Even when there's discrepancy. Respect doesn't disappear. Then with respect, Bhavan, Your Majesty, and following the statement of Your Majesty is why he considers him to be Your Majesty. And that the facts flow. I'll just go there a little bit and come back to this point I'd like to make. He's referring to the facts, the history. The history was King Vena, son of Anga. He became the king. And he was bad. He was so bad that he's forcibly stopped all religious practices. Not allowed in my kingdom. I'll kill you if you do religious practices. Stop. The force of evil. So the brahmanas checked Vena and they churned the body of Vena, and from the body of Vena came Prithu. Just at the time when, according to the Sanskrit here, by Vena Apacharad, by the sinful activities of Vena, Avaluptam, practically piety or dharma was vanquished, almost. And so, samaya anurupam means, word for word, is according to the time and circumstances. So Krishna is very expert, and those empowered by Krishna are likewise very expert. They know how to act according to time and circumstance. To be effective Vaishnavas, we should also learn the art of understanding how to do what's required, but according to time and circumstance. So that's challenging. It's one thing as challenging as knowing what to do. It's another challenge to know, according to time and circumstance, how to do it. Do the right thing in the right way, according to time and circumstance. The Supreme Lord certainly knows. And those that are connected to the Supreme Lord, they also can know, because the Lord will give them that indication, according to time and circumstance. It's subtle. It's sometimes, I'll say personally, it's very challenging how to address a complicated situation in the right way. It's easy to just go blustering in, I know the right way, just ask me. And so many people get hurt. Our business as Vaishnavas, Prabhupada taught, is not to please all the people all the time, because that's not possible. In this material world, it's not possible. That's not our required standard. But to please the personality of Godhead, please Guru and Krishna, that's the standard. And Krishna, all living entities are Krishna's parts and parcels. So as far as what's appropriate according to time and circumstance, we have to consider so many things. And sometimes we don't. And sometimes we consider and we don't know what to do because it's too complex. But we have to act because circumstance requires some action. You've been there to that in that spot before? It's challenging, isn't it? I've been there too many times. Very challenging. But it's the sign of a mature Vaishnav that they pause, and in that space, that pause, you consider not just what's right, but what's going to be the outcome if I do this way, if I do that way. Who will be impacted? Whose lives will be impacted? Adversely, especially. Even when doing something right, that's required. So, the personality of Godhead, in this case, samaya anurupam, exactly according to time and circumstance, he empowered a living entity, a jiva soul, part and parcel of the Supreme. Like us, we're part and parcels of the Supreme. Mame Vangsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We're eternally part and parcels of the Supreme. So Krishna empowered a part and parcel living entity to act on his behalf as the son of Vena to restore religious principles. Not only at the right time, but in the right way, according to time and circumstance. So that's just one of the dimensions of Lord Brahma's respect. Now, while he's offering not inappropriate, appropriate respect to another part and parcel, Lord Brahma's a jiva, Prithu's a jiva, he could think, hey, we're equals. But he's showing respect to an empowered incarnation of the Lord who has come for a specific mission, and that's to restore religious principle. So from the previous verses, he has already given an indication where this argument is going. Or, you know, persuasion, you can say, is going. And that is, Indra over here, he's bent out of shape. He's really disturbed. He's fearful that your ambition is not preservation of religious principles. Your ambition is to take his post of Indra. You want to bump him, he thinks, you want to bump him out, become Indra. So he's doing adharma. Look at this adharma he just did. Not only he stole the sacrificial horse, but he, second thing, he disguised himself as a mendicant. He's, you know, an imitator, a pretender, a cheat. And then he hid himself amongst common people, so like he wouldn't even be noticed. He's a triple cheat. And because he did this, other people will follow. Adharma will flourish while you're trying to protect Dharma. Please consider. May I humbly suggest another path? Just don't do this 100th Ashwamedha Yajna. Because you have already reestablished the principles of Dharma. You're empowered, and just your presence on earth has done that. So, with folded palms, with the straw of the street in my teeth, I'm making this request of you. Please cease and desist. This is appropriate. It's not getting on the internet and blasting somebody. As going, you know, internet bashing is like a sport today. My advice, or stronger than advice, my plea with all of you, please don't engage in that sport. And please don't be a bystander watching people who are doing that sport. It's mind polluting to the max. I don't need to elaborate on it. Just please don't do that. It's very hurtful to yourself as an individual and society as a whole. It goes on. Don't be a participant. Besides, it's far more than a waste of time. It's an instrument of Kali. And Kali is, ha ha ha, I got him. Taking away their focus upon the personality of Godhead and engaging them in big time aparad. Ha ha ha. He's having a blast. But don't be a submissive servant of an instrument, an agent of Kali. Don't go there. But follow this nice example of Lord Brahma. If you as a Vaishnava feel, I can't do that. I can't go before this superior person. If you feel that's so because of your disqualification or something or other, then in a mood of service, if you must speak something in a mood of service to someone who has such a relationship or a position in relation to that individual who can speak. In a mood of service, not in a bashing way. My dear friend, say it's appear. From, appear to appear. So speak to appear. Speak to a village elder, so to speak. Someone who's not a partisan individual, someone that's a very mature person. And disclose your heart. I have this concern for the welfare of the individual and the welfare of our society. It appears to me, I could be wrong, but it appears to me there's a discrepancy in the execution of duty. And I don't know what to do. Just as a point of information for the devotees here, this is an institutional statement for our International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have retained, we give a little part of the GBC budget to a group of devotees that are called Ambuds. Some of you know what that is. In simple, it's a village elder who their responsibility is confidentiality and being neutral. If someone has a problem, they can go to this ombuds person. If you want to know who that is, go isconresolve.com or org or something, or net or something. And click on ombuds. Find out who they are. And you can share your heart with that person. It seems to me there's this discrepancy in execution of duty and I don't know what to do. I'm just this little small guy. But it concerns me. and that ombuds will maintain confidentiality as part of their job description and their quality. They can do that. They're capable of doing that. They're supposed to do that. Go to that person, and then they may, according to whatever they feel is appropriate, maintaining confidentiality, see what they can do as an elder or a mature Vaishnav, address themselves to the situation, however they feel is appropriate. But don't lose this component of respect. You lose the component of respect, you lose your Krishna consciousness. And you become, there's serious consequences. So don't just remain feeling conflicted. If it's appropriate in circumstances, in appropriate circumstances, address yourself in a proper way. That's one of the, very important messages from this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Specifically, Prabhupada is addressing another point in the purport, and that's, what's the position of Shaktivesh Avatar? And the position of a Shaktivesh Avatar, I'll just read the Sanskrit again. In the verse, it's Vishnu Kala. Vishnu Kala. So, Kala, we all know what Kala means. Consistently, Prabhupada translates it as a portion of a plenary portion. What that means is Vishnu. A plenary expansion is in the Vaikuntha realm, like Balaram, or the Chaturvyuha in the spiritual world. They're plenary portions. Or Lord Narayan, plenary portion. The portion of the plenary portion, that term refers to the Purusha avatars, the forms of Vishnu for the purpose of material creation. They have a special terminology, so we know this one from that one. They're all Vishnu Tattva, but the Purusha avatars are given this nomenclature Kala, portion of a plenary portion. Here, Lord Brahma is addressing Prithu Maharaj as Vishnu Kala. And immediately Prabhupada, right in the beginning of the purport, wants us to understand correctly. What does that mean? He's a jiva tattva, like we're jiva tattvas, but he's empowered with a specific potency of Vishnu, that palana shakti. Like, give some examples of Shaktivesh avatars. One of them is the Kumaras. And they're the embodiment, or they're bearing the Lord's Gyan Shakti. So they're Shaktivesh avatars. Brahma, he's also a Shaktivesh avatar. Srishti Shakti, the Lord's creative potency. So in one sense, Lord Brahma and Prithu are peers. So if you have to address a peer that you feel may be some discrepancy, you don't go to person B and say, you know what about person A, blah, blah, blah. Don't do that. Go to person A and say, Bhavan, my dear Prabhu, I have all respect for you and appreciation. It seems to me, I may be wrong, so please share with me what your sense of this particular situation. If you approach somebody in that way, you won't make an offense, and you'll get much more mileage of reciprocation with that person through the medium of respect. Anyway, so Gyan Shakti is the Kumaras, and Srishti Shakti is Lord Brahma. Vyasadeva is another. Shaktivesh avatar. He's empowered to do the literary work of dividing and compiling the Vedas into written form. He's an incarnation of the Lord. He's an empowered incarnation of the Lord. And Prithu Maharaj is another empowered incarnation. Because he's bearing the Lord's personal potency. Practically speaking, there's no difference between Prithu Maharaj and the Lord. Therefore, he's addressed as Vishnu Kala. But Prabhupada wants us to understand, while he's being addressed as Vishnu Kala, a portion of a plenary portion, like Vishnu himself, he's not Vishnu. He's a jiva acting on behalf of Vishnu in an empowered way. We were discussing this yesterday on Lord Nityananda's appearance in the morning class about Lord Nityananda being the original spiritual master. And because he is the original spiritual master and is not a portion of a plenary portion, he's directly the first expansion of Krishna. He's the personality of Godhead. Serving Krishna as the giver of the instructions of Krishna to others. And anyone else who performs that function being called Guru Tattva, that Guru Tattva individual is to be regarded as good as Krishna. In fact, Krishna says it in Uddhava Gita, Acharya Mam Vajaniyan. One should navamanyeta karhichit. One should never think of the acharya as anything other than myself. I consider him as good as myself. So if Krishna considers as good as himself, we should think differently? That'd be a mistake. And then he goes further and says, one should not consider him ordinary. This is how you should consider him. Don't consider him otherwise. That would be an offense. At the same time, we don't think of the spiritual master as Vishnu Tattva, although he's acting on behalf of Lord Nityananda. But he's to be regarded with that same respect. Prabhupada gives this example, simple example, worldly example. Supposing there's an ambassador. The ambassador from some place comes to another place. And he's received as if it's the country himself has come. Not even the president, but the country himself has come. So if you want to honor the country, you honor the ambassador of that country. Or the embassy, the place where the ambassador stays. Just like in New York. There's an Indian embassy just off of Fifth Avenue. You go to the Indian embassy and it's like you've gone to India. In fact, before you go in the front door, there's guards. I mean, police. And they're Indian police because it's India. The laws of India are in force inside that embassy. Just outside the door, it's America. It's New York City. You go inside the door, it's India. If you break the law, if you, let's say, commit a crime, you're subject to the laws of India, not to the United States. Because it's India. That's what an embassy means. It's to be respected. So if you want to disrespect a country, you go disrespect the embassy. Burn the embassy or put, you know, parade in front of the embassy, throw a bomb at the embassy. You're disrespecting the country, not just a building. You follow. So, what's the position of Guru? He's just, he's the postal peon. That's postal peon. There's a letter written from somebody and the postal peon delivers and says, sir, here's your letter. But he's representing the government. It's like in America, you probably have, you must have them here, a postal box. It has the, you know, the government-issued postal box. You put your letters inside, you can count, you're supposed to count on, it'll get delivered. And if you damage the postal box, you're violating the federal government. Take any other box and it's not a problem. The government box, you damage it, you're breaking federal law. Yes? So the postal peon, the guru, is the postal peon. But he's to be respected like Krishna is to be respected, or Lord Nityananda is to be respected. Take your pick. So the Shaktivesh avatar is to be respected, as Brahma is appropriately doing as Vishnu Kala. Even he's offering some recommendation to Vishnu Kala. Please don't do that, do this. But it's not a breach of etiquette to do so. And one other point is that Prabhupada's making in the purport is that when you have such a Vishnu Kala or Shaktivesh avatar, what are the functions that Krishna does? In addition to Pritranaya Satanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam, he does a third thing. What's that third thing? Dharma Sangstha Panartaya. And how did Krishna, when he came, how did he reestablish the principles of Dharma? He spoke Bhagavad Gita. Because there was discrepancy out there. What Dharma? So Arjuna played the role of one who was bewildered about Dharma. Krishna straightened him out. And then Arjuna knew, this is what is Dharma. And he could understand what is Dharma because he was ready to do what Krishna said. Sarva dharmam prityaja mame kam sharanam braja. Aham tam sarva pape bhyo moksha yashami maso. He became fully surrendered to Krishna. Krishna vachanam tava, whatever you say, I'm ready. Not just blindly, because I understand who you are. I'm your servant. And you want something, therefore I'm ready. It's very simple. Very simple. Prabhupada taught Krishna consciousness is very simple. What is that? He said. God is very great. I am very small. Therefore I should serve him. That is Krishna consciousness. Very simple. Very simple. Simple for the simple. And very difficult for the crooked. Yes, but simple for the simple. So Arjuna could understand what is Dharma. Because Krishna instructed him and removed his misconceptions. Arjuna was submissive. He presented his yabhat questions, but he was submissive. And therefore he could understand what is his duty. So the Shaktivesh avatar also does the same business, reestablishing principles of Dharma. How? By instructing. And what is that instruction? The essence of that instruction? To come again to your position of the constitutional servant of Krishna. This material world is very complex. Saying it once again. It's sometimes very difficult. I just had a conversation with a very wonderful devotee couple. The wife just had a miscarriage. And they were very careful in preparing themselves, qualifying themselves to have good praja, so on and so on and so on. And not just they observed Garbhadhan Sanskar, but they were very, very fixed for months in the proper mood to receive a soul and to care for that soul in the proper way as Grihastha parents are to do, to deliver the soul to the spiritual world. They were taking it very seriously. And some months into the pregnancy, she had a miscarriage. Very difficult. Yesterday we were speaking about reversals. There's a reversal. Moving along the path according to all scriptural instructions with proper guidance from those who are very mature devotees, and everything is going along in natural course. And then all of a sudden, a reversal. Now, how to process that? Very difficult. Very difficult. I can say to the credit of this individual, no loss of faith in Krishna, or blaming someone, or blaming themselves, or my karma, or the whole thing. They were protected by this very important, not from the mind, but from the heart, acceptance that I'm simply a servant. Taking shelter of the mood of being the humble servant, the servant of the servant of the servant, humble servant. As the mother and father, or would-be mother and father, their wish was to serve a spirit soul, to help them complete their journey of the cycle of birth and death and return back to Godhead as a servant, not as an enjoyer, as a servant. I'll repeat it. Not as an enjoyer, but as a servant. You deviate from that mood of being a servant. Look out. When Narada Muni was describing to the Hariashvas this mystical place that they've never seen before, and then he was describing the nature of that place. One of the features of that place is, in that place, there's a revolving machine that has sharp blades, and it's constantly moving, and it rips to shreds anything it comes in contact with. And the Hariashvas understood right away, what's that? That's fruit of activity. Doing something with the notion that I'm to be the enjoyer of that something. It cuts very sharply. You leave the in this world, do not take shelter of the humble mood of service. You're in for big pain. Big pain. Even when you're doing something good. Just as we read the other day. Even, I'll read the exact language. Sometimes the saintly or very religious person also has to meet with reversals in life. If you forget everything else from this class, remember this one thing. Stay always in the humble mood of service. You'll be protected. Then you'll see each situation that comes your way as some opportunity to serve Krishna. Because what's our position? We're servants. The Lord Brahma is advising a fellow Shaktivesh avatar who is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord for the purpose of protection, palana shakti, protect by establishing religious principle. Maintain religious principle, my dear Prithu Maharaj, by staying in the position of simply carrying out a service, upholding Dharma by this one principle, Dharma. Stay always in the humble mood of service. Finally, if you get some tap on the shoulder of some devotee, it may be a senior devotee, it may be a junior devotee, it may be a peer, and they say, my dear friend, or my dear Prabhu, and they come with you with some recommendation, like Lord Brahma is doing. Be receptive and maintain respect in that relationship, so that a proper understanding can be reached between the two. then we can have a society where loving relationships prevail instead of Kali Yuga, no relationships, where there's fighting and quarreling and arguing and no solution, no resolution, no progress, chaos. Don't be a participant in that program. That's what we're trying to relieve ourselves from. Enter into this very nice mood. So when you're the giver or the receiver of such communication, stay always in the mood of service. Stay always respectful of the other Vaishnavas. Even there may be discrepancy in that other Vaishnava's execution of duty. Still listen with an open mind. And once you have heard with an open mind, then you can share what your understanding and appreciation of the circumstance is. When we have that kind of relationships amongst the Sangha of Vaishnavas, we'll be unstoppable. We'll be a very happy organization and an unstoppable organization. And otherwise, so much energy is wasted in this other business, non-progressive, downward business. Hare Krishna. Any questions and comments over here?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for such a wonderful class. Maharaj, you are explaining the concept of respect. Like we also see Vaishnavas from Bhagavatam, like we see Arjuna. You know, he was dealing with, in Mahabharata war, he was battling against many of the Kauravas who are all atheistic in nature and demoniac in nature. And with great anger, he was chopping off their heads and, you know, killing them. So, is Arjuna respect, actually, because Vaishnava respects each and every living entity, so Arjuna obviously might be respecting all these living entities also. So how do we understand that Arjuna, with such an anger, he is, you know, chopping off the heads of all these Kauravas?
To be a qualified Kshatriya like Arjuna, one has to be on the transcendental platform. If we're not on the transcendental platform, we shouldn't imitate a qualified person. So the qualified Arjuna type person was not disrespecting the soul. You with me? Your question. He wasn't disrespecting the soul. He was, first of all, he was honoring Krishna's wish, explicit Krishna's wish, and what Krishna's wish, following from Krishna's wish, was here's some behavior that's totally unacceptable. And every effort other than fighting was followed unsuccessfully. That's another dimension of seeing with respect when there was no other alternative. So when there was no other alternative, the following point was Arjuna knew, because of his Krishna consciousness, that he was just an instrument and Krishna was delivering them from that diabolical behavior that they wouldn't let go of. So that tendency was relieved. The reaction for all their misdeeds was being relieved. It was actually of the best interest of the soul. We'll take a simpler example, because that's more difficult. A simpler example is the issue of capital punishment. Supposing, you know, someone's a murderer and you're a judge. You can think compassionately, with respect for the living entity, you can go free. But that's not what compassion is. When it's according to the laws of Manu, it's compassionate. But one should be very clear. Let's just say you're not a Vaishnava and someone is, you know, convicted of, they denied it, but it's very evident, the court has convicted them of murder. So you just follow the law and you know, they're sentenced to death. That's not compassion, because they're not thinking of the welfare of the soul. The consciousness of the welfare of the soul must be there for the welfare of the soul to be, you know, how you're leading your life. But be sure one is acting, the points that I've made will repeat. You're acting under the indication of the Supreme Lord, clearly. Other remedies have been exhausted for correction of the situation. And then as you're administering, you're thinking of the welfare of the soul. In such cases, strong action is required, but one should be thinking for the welfare of the soul. You take another example that fits the same complexity. There's a mother and father, and they have a child, and the child is misbehaving. They want to be respectful of that living entity. So permissiveness in all circumstances is not what constitutes respect for the soul. They may have to discipline. So a kshatriya has that duty to discipline. But it's their duty, not everybody's duty. And then they have to follow those guidelines. Otherwise, we don't follow those standards, and we have Kali Yuga in full roar. Just people going around bashing each other because, you know, you've deviated. I see discrepancy in your religious principle. That's not mature. It's not mature. Even you may be right. There's discrepancy. And something needs to be done. Both. Now how do you do that? How does one conduct oneself? That takes maturity. And in Arjuna's case, he had it. There was no alternative. It was Krishna's explicit desire. And it was done with compassion for the soul. Those persons were all delivered.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisance. Maharaj, I have a question on respect. Is there different kind of respect? Like superior respect, inferior respect? This person?
Yes, there's different. The manifestation of respect is commensurate with the individual's position.
Then humbleness also has different kinds, because humbleness comes from respect, humbleness.
They're certainly related, but they're not identical.
Humbleness is common. Humbleness does not have kinds, it is same with every heart.
Can someone take the microphone from him? The qualities are related, but they're different. You know, you can define, this is what respect is, and that's what... So it's like, you know, there's some overlap, but humility is more how you regard yourself, and respect is how you regard another person, for starters. Respect is relational. And humble is introspective. It's still in relation to others, I'm very small. Respect is how you look towards others. Does that help?
Alex? Alex?
Where's the microphone? Oh, there it is, okay.
Maharaj, you are explaining about the simple for the simple person, Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple person, and it's difficult for the crooked.
Yeah.
So, and you told that yes,
you
but
like that,
but,
huh?
So,
stay simple, please. You are simple. Just stay that way. It's good. In the material world, people don't like to be called, "Oh, you're simple." That's like, you know, derogatory. For a Vaishnav, that's a compliment. We should strive. Simplicity is a brahminical quality. Go ahead.
But there is some obstinacy there, means...
There's some which?
Obstinacy.
We're obstinate, stubborn? Yeah.
So how to come out?
How to come out of being stubborn? Let go. Stubborn, there's varieties of stubborn. But an essence of stubbornness is, you know, thinking very highly of oneself. So my opinion obviously has to be the right opinion, because I'm me and I'm always right. And I don't want to hear anything other than I'm right. Tell me I'm right and I'll be your friend. Other than I'm right, stubborn. So how to come out is learn how to become humble. So how do we learn how to become humble? A simple answer, Prabhupada elaborated on this, but a simple answer is, standing before Krishna, what is your position? Very small. How great is Krishna? Think in different ways, how great is Krishna? Before Krishna, I'm very small. So why should I be stubborn? Think of yourself, it's not low self-esteem, it's in relation to Krishna. I'm factually very small. And I need, therefore, the mercy of Krishna. So I'm ready to receive the mercy of Krishna. I'm discriminating what's the mercy of Krishna and what's illusion, but I'm ready for Krishna's mercy. Then I can give up my obstinacy, my stubbornness, and associate with those that are likewise humble, and avoid making camaraderie with those that are stubborn. Like attracts like. Birds of a feather flock together. So seek out the association of those that are humble and avoid those that are dug in and never listen to anybody and they're always right and everybody else is always wrong. And minimize or carefully guard against that kind of mentality. Okay, we got some questions. How to enthusiastically always maintain the humble mood of service? Mind doesn't stay steady on this platform. Moreover, while working outside in occupation, we come across so many situations unfavorable to such attitude. This is like, you know, in the top 10 of the hit parade of common questions, especially in the workplace. I'll give an answer you probably don't want to hear. And the answer is, by chanting the holy name in the proper manner, that quality will naturally follow. Because to chant the holy name in the proper manner, what does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach? Trinadapi Sunichi. So, cultivate the quality of humility in relation to your relationship with the holy name by calling upon the holy name in that mood. I'll share a little realization about this from my own chanting. Chanting is an activity. It's something you do. But if you just chant as an activity, that's something that you do, That alone carries with it karta hamiti manyate. I'm going to chant nicely. Or even just, I'm going to chant. I would say, chant nicely. Try to chant nicely. And what happens? You realize you're not chanting nicely. Don't try to chant nicely and you won't realize it. Try to chant nicely. You'll realize it. I'm not chanting nicely. So now what do you do? To chant nicely, there has to be a receptivity. You have to receive the holy name so that you can chant the holy name nicely. What's our constitutional position? We're servants. A servant serves. That's what we do. But it's not a one-way thing. It's a relationship where we're receiving the mercy of the person who we're serving. That gives us impetus to serve nicely. It's called love. The chanting of the holy name when done nicely is receiving and serving. The service to Guru and Krishna, because Guru has asked us to chant, and initiated devotees make a vow to chant, so we're doing our service, we're chanting. But there's a relationship, we're receiving. Constitutionally, we're Prakriti. What does that mean? In relation to Purusha, we're female. We're receptive. We're receivers. What are we receivers of? Mercy. And what do? We give service to our master, like the wife serves her husband. But in relation to Krishna, we're all female. We're all servants of Krishna. We don't just serve. There's a relationship. We receive. And the relationship with the holy name is, we receive the holy name. Who do we receive the holy name from? Lord Nityananda. He's the giver of the pure holy name. It's a relationship. So you want to cultivate this humility? Chant nicely. It's an incomplete kind of humility. Oh, it's so difficult to chant nicely. Then you can feel humble. Go beyond that. To receive the pure holy name. And we can't do that unless we're receiving mercy. So while you're striving to chant properly, put equal enthusiasm into, just as Prabhupada taught, calling for Krishna in the form of his holy name to please give us his mercy. I shared this, one of the methods of Bhaktivinoda Thakur for improving the quality of chanting is this one little prayer. Please accept me. It's mercy. It's a receptive mode. To be in a receptive mode, you have to be humble. Trinadapi. Like a piece of straw on the street. How important is a piece of straw on the street? We're going to walk out of the temple room after this. You walk out and you see a little piece of straw on the ground. How excited do you get? Oh, I found a piece of straw. Look at this. You don't get excited. And lower than that. It's not low self-esteem. It's in relation to Krishna, we're tiny. Without Krishna's empowerment, we can't do anything. But to speak of, chant the pure holy name. So be in that receptive mode. And then in the workplace, maintain that consciousness. I'm the servant of Krishna. I'm in the workplace serving Krishna. And how are you going to make that a strong consciousness? By proper chanting. So Krishna is very kind. He's given us so many other resources, like serving the Vaishnavas. So in that same mood, from the power of your proper effort of chanting, serve the Vaishnavas. But the strength for that will come from your chanting, proper chanting. It all starts from the holy name. That's the Yuga Dharma. And then you can serve in the workplace in that mood. Then, you know, well, there's the yeah, but. Yeah, but people in the workplace, if they see somebody who's humble, they take advantage of them, and that's no good. But, you know, that's a mental adjustment. This is, I'm speaking, a spiritual position of consciously being in the mood of serving Krishna all the time, not some of the time, not only when you're chanting. All the time, because that's our position constitutionally. So cultivate that consciousness. Through chanting of the holy name and proper hearing of the scripture, they complement each other very nicely. The message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dive deeply into the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Through the guidance of qualified souls, chant the holy name purely and be happy. Always in a humble mood of service. One more question. No, I've got one right here. To be continued. While doing temple service, I always look for recognition. Sometimes I'll do such a service so that I'll be recognized by so many devotees. This hankering for recognition is occupying my whole consciousness day by day. Please instruct practical ways to come out of this tendency. In Madhurya Kandambani, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives very nice instruction. He says that this is one of the anarthas. It's in the, he gives four categories and it's the final one. Labha Puja Pratishtha. You do a little bhakti and you get a little success, and then you start to become proud of that little success. It's the same material tendency as a materialist, just in the realm of bhakti. And then one becomes filled with oneself. Just see. I hope others are seeing. I'm seeing. Intelligent others will also see. I'm doing this. So this devotee is being a little honest with himself. So the advice, there's the positive and negative. The positive is maintain the humble mood of service. How to go further in that humble mood of service? Chant purely. Strive to chant purely. Same discussion as before. And on the other side, to strive to chant purely means you have to be receptive to the mercy of Krishna, because otherwise you're not going to get on the other side of this anartha. It's going to plague you like a iron ball with a chain on the iron ball and strapped to your ankle, and you're trying to run. You'll fall on your face. You won't make progress. It'll be painful and very embarrassing. So to get free from that iron ball, carefully guard against the tendency. Be vigilant in subtle ways of your, this is an internal cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Check that motivation in the negative sense. In the positive sense, chant the holy name purely. Call out to Lord Nityananda for his mercy. Call out to your spiritual master for their mercy. And guard against this offense. And it's subtle, so it doesn't go away so easily. It's like a stain. It doesn't go away. Scrub, scrub, scrub. It doesn't go away. Scrub, scrub. It doesn't go away. What do? Keep scrubbing. And call out to Krishna. And Krishna can make it go away. It's the last snare of Maya. It's the last anartha. is this labha, puja, pratishta tendency. Little spiritual success, become proud. Pride is so nasty. Talk of stubborn. Huh. Pride is so stubborn. Take shelter of the humble mood of service and stay there. Don't budge an inch. Stay there. And some enticement comes that says, get proud. No. I'm staying humble. I've had enough with you. I don't want you as a master anymore. I want Krishna as my master. Kevala Bhakti. Say yes to Krishna and say no to illusion. Prabhupada says it right in Bhagavad Gita. Devotional service means declaring war on Maya. So, you want to do battle? Do battle within your own heart, not just somebody else's heart. Make your heart pure. And when your heart is pure, then you'll be in a position to be Arjuna and you can help make other person's hearts pure. But do that battle first. Become pure. Make that your war project. War against Maya within your own heart. Strive. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We were speaking Ramanujacharya. Both said, strive always for purity. Make that the hallmark of your life. Strive for purity. And purity is the force. Purity will bring about change. You want some change. Be pure. Make one's heart immaculate. That's powerful. And then whatever words you speak, it carries power. The power of purity. There's no substitute for purity in this world. Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada.
His Holiness Ramapad Swami Maharaj ki jai.